Yo, what's up everyone? The episode you're about to hear was recorded at the Ethereum Hackathon in Singapore, and I was super lucky to meet face-to-face some of the people we had on the show. So enjoy these mini episodes, and we'll see you in the next episodes of Crypto 101. Loi, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Very good, sir. Very good to see you here in Singapore.
It's good to see you in person after 10 months? Of the podcast?
I think it's about 10 months since the last time we were on the podcast together. And man, I'm really happy that you invited us to the office and just to hang out and just meet you guys in person.
Thanks for coming, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Singapore is, you know, treating you well.
It is, man. It is. I came in last night. My buddy picked me up from the airport. We went out. We got some drinks. Been hanging around. Singapore is such an interesting city because there's so much different cultures and architectures. You're like right next to Malaysia, right next to Indonesia, you know, very close to China and India and all kinds of other, you know, influences here. And everybody's here in Singapore.
Yeah, that's what you see, like, you know, Malaysian, Indian, Chinese and Vietnamese and like basically like everyone is here. And they all live and stay together and work together like without any problem.
It's kind of insane because we think that from an American standpoint is that you cannot have, and I don't want to get political or religious, but you know, a Christian and a Muslim and a Hindu and you know, different languages and different cultures and personalities in one place and it works. But here it's amazing.
Yeah, so that's why you see, like, you know, crypto is also working really well here.
Mm-hmm. So why Singapore? Like, Singapore is an amazing place for a lot of reasons, but you see a lot of crypto companies and they start off in one place and then they say, I'm gonna move to Malta or Panama, Puerto Rico or whatever. But some companies like yours and Elf and other companies are staying in Singapore. Why Singapore and what benefits to your company?
First of all, it's a nice country to stay and to live and to work as well. The life quality is good. The infrastructure is good. Regulation is friendly. And in terms of, I think, engineering, I think it's growing. The talent pool is growing. It's easier to invite or hire people from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go to, like, you know, Indonesia, Vietnam, or even, like, you know, China and India and, you know, source the people, the talent from there and just, like, you know, hire them and bring them to Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
I think regulation plays an important part because the central bank here and even the lawyers, they're quite friendly and easy to work with. I mean, as long as you don't like violate the law, you don't do any scam or things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is willing to have a conversation with you to figure out the problem, to sort out the problem for you.
You know, I think that everybody knows that Singapore is very strict and very law-abiding country. Is it as strict with the finance market as well? Like, we always hear is like, if you're chewing gum, you get like lashes or something, or you spit on the street, you get lashes. Is it really that strict? And is it that strict with the finance or new companies like blockchain?
I think in general, people respect and follow the law, mm-hmm. right? So that's why, like, there are not like so many cases, like the law enforcement actually has, you know, to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So which is also good for the regulators as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but in general, I think it's strict,
mm-hmm. yeah. Okay, so does people actually get caned here?
Last time I heard about it was like several years ago.
Okay, but it does happen.
It did happen.
Okay.
I haven't seen it like in the last 5 years though.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I'm not sure like if it's still a thing.
So you're here because of the regulations, that's number one, but it's not a cheap place to set up. I mean, salaries are high, rent is high, you know, everything, the cost of living is high. There's a lot of things that go into maintaining a company here. What are the benefits to this cost ratio?
I think having the access to the ecosystem is good. Like, if you want to talk to a lawyer that knows that stuff, that could like advise you on what to do to protect you and not to violate the law, then I think it's good. There are a lot of like great law firms here.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of several top schools in Asia here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, NUS is among the top 20 schools in terms of like computer science and things like that. And we also have like NTU and SMU is a great business school here as well in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hire like the top talent in Asia in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the great benefit of setting up something here in Singapore.
Last time we spoke, Kyber was on the road to go into Korea. You were talking about atomic swapping on the Kyber network, being in ATMs, doing all these different things. What has happened in the time since we spoke last?
So we are growing the ecosystem overall. So first of all, it's been like 10 months since we talked in the podcast, right? We have been expanding our presence in, like, I think more than 20 different crypto wallets, including the major ones like, you know, IAM Token, MyEther Wallet, Coinbase Wallet, basically like all the major ones, you name it, right?
Mm.
And then we also like trying to have more integration with other financial protocol or the financial dApp, like Melonport is one example. So they do trustless and decentralized fund management platform. So with the integration with Kyber, the fund manager could liquidate their portfolio asset fully on chain, like just by sending a transaction to the smart contract without, like, you know, trusting any like middleman or like sending the fund to any centralized exchanges to do that. We are also like trying to push for the token payments use case as well. So the idea here is that now, you know, because everyone is trying to issue their own token, right? So if you want to use some different app, you may have to acquire the token beforehand in order to use the app. But it's not going to happen if you want to use like 100 different apps, right?
Right, true.
So the idea is that Kyber could facilitate the payment to the app like seamlessly. You can use like Ether or only DAI or whatever token of your choice, right? And once you send the payment, Kyber could have like, you know, convert it instantly on the fly and pay to the app in the native token.
I like how you said when I asked, like, what have you been up to? You said it's only been 10 months. That's basically what you said. It's only been 10 months.
Right.
What kind of timeline are you looking at? I mean, I think in the crypto world, maybe as consumers, right, as investors, as podcasters, we're maybe a little too impatient. Maybe we're always under like, when's the next project? When are you going to, you know, go moon? When is we going to see Kyber everywhere in every aspect of everyday life? And you said 10 months, you know, like it's only 10 months. What kind of realistic timelines are we looking for, you know, where you want to get with Kyber?
Right. So basically, we are setting up all the infrastructure for Kyber to be like everywhere in all the like financial transaction and payments and all the daily activities, right? So that's why you could see that we are trying to integrate with more wallets, with more financial protocol, with more merchants or dApp that accept crypto payments. So the thing is, Kyber is making a long bet in the ecosystem, right? So if like all these applications get any like traction or adoption, then Kyber is there already,
right? Right?
So we are already set up to serve the users. And another important initiative that Kyber has been working on, I think we just announced last month or so, the wrapped Bitcoin idea. So the idea here is that we want to bring Bitcoin liquidity and value to Ethereum ecosystem.
I see, okay.
Right. So we work together with a few other projects, including BitGo and Republic, and I think 15 other different projects in the space to tokenize Bitcoin. And, you know, BitGo will be the custodian that keeps the real Bitcoin and issue the ERC-20 token that represent Bitcoin. So we call it WBTC. Like any dApp on Ethereum, they could like get access to Bitcoin, right, by just like accepting WBTC. So which is an important initiative to bring more liquidity, more value to Ethereum ecosystem.
You talk about liquidity and value and, you know, bringing that to the Ethereum ecosystem.
Right.
Ethereum just hit $80 today, down from all-time high of $1,200.
Right.
It just keeps going down. Does that worry you?
I mean, it's sad to see what's happening, right?
Right.
I mean, no one should be happy unless like you have like some, I mean, you did like some financial activity to gain some profit from it. But we have seen this like several times, right?
Right.
In the last like 5 years, I think. And we believe that, you know, if we keep maintaining the fundamental, keep building the ecosystem, keep inventing new use cases that are going to be like practical and going to be mainstream, then the market will just like, you know, pick up again.
Can Kyber live without Ethereum? Can Kyber live without Bitcoin? Or do they have to be successful for Kyber to be successful?
So currently we are quite embedded in the Ethereum ecosystem. So it would be better if the Ethereum ecosystem like pick up. But technically we could deploy Kyber on any other blockchain and serve the ecosystem over there, because the protocol is there, the deployment on Ethereum is there. So we could like just use that deployment as a reference and, you know, deploy Kyber on any other blockchain.
Right on. You're embedded in the Ethereum ecosystem very deeply.
Right.
Today is the beginning of the ETH Hackathon,
right,
Singapore. You're on a panel. What are you gonna be doing over there, man?
I think I'm gonna be on the cross-chain panel. Basically, let's just talk about why cross-chain is important and what are the other approaches for cross-chain and what we are doing with WBTC.
You know, this might be a weird question, and I'm always curious about conferences and hackathons like this. We can talk about cross-chain and things like that on a podcast or on a YouTube video, and you know, we have a reach of, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 people already,
right,
you know, by just this. But doing it at a conference, you only are basically talking to the people there. Is it worth it?
Okay, so I mean, the idea of the conference is that,
I mean, I don't want to diss the conference for being there, but
I know.
Just curious.
I think there's always like something for the conference that still attract people to attend conferences. That is, you could meet the people in person, right? You could ask them questions, you could like interact with them, instead of like, you know, someone listen to our video, and if they ask any question, they just like leave a comment on YouTube,
right?
And most of the time, like, you don't answer them, right? And for the hackathon, I think like all the panels, all the talks are just like the minor part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The main activities is like people forming group and working on ideas and building prototype and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the talks and the panels are just like decoration or some side activities.
Right. Cool, man. Cool. Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you very much for inviting me to the office and talking a little about your project, talking about the future of Kyber and what you guys have been doing. And well, if anybody wants to know more about Kyber, go to the Crypto 101 episode. We do Kyber 101. Loi and I go through the whole thing about how the name came about, what they're doing, what the project's aims are, and check out that episode. And
hey, thanks a lot for having me. Yeah, it's been great.
No, man, thank you for having me, man. I came over here and you welcomed me into your home. I appreciate that.
Thanks, yeah.
All right, brother.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.